Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
To be looking for efficiencies in our local governments. If you're a city with five cops, I think it's time to start asking your sheriff, is this something that where we can work collaboratively to figure out how we can gain efficiencies and save money that way?
This is Monique Miller. She's the representative that offered HJR 203. That's the one that we're going to get to vote on in November if the Senate takes up action on it, and if they come up with the same thing. It does not have to go to the governor. It'll bypass him, but the Senate so far has done nothing. This is the one that everybody's been talking about that would eliminate your property taxes on your home. It's a homestead property tax exemption for everything but the school board. So you still have to pay, not quite, or about around half, depends on where you live, what your exact percentage is, but you're going to pay around half to the school board, and then the other half is going to get cut out. And the answer from the Republicans offering this, who did pass it 80-30, so she's saying, look, we're just going to have a culture of thrift. People are going to learn how to spend less money. They're not going to have to cut services, which is amazing. By the way, if they are able to do this without cutting services, then why do you need to include in the amendment a guarantee that you are not allowed to cut law enforcement services? Anyway, there's 100 different kinds of irrationality in this and dishonesty, my interpretation. As somebody who hates property taxes and has long wished we could get rid of them, this has been a completely disingenuous approach, and we'll talk more about that. If you want to, by the way, I talked about this at 5 o'clock. We have Jimmy Patronis coming on at 7 o'clock, and then at 8 o'clock I'll talk about this again. So lots of coverage of this. It was like a two and a half hour thing that they did in the Florida House on Thursday, and I think you need to know about this and just think through it, as a voter, obviously, who's maybe going to be called upon to vote on this. So, first of all, the answer is if we have small municipalities that have a few cops, just have the sheriff do that. Of course, the sheriff is also going to get cut funding. Well, not the sheriff, because law enforcement can't get cut, but find a way to do it cheaper. But again, the counties are going to lose money too, so it's not like the city can outsource to the lesser-funded counties and solve this problem. It's not an adult solution is the problem. It's a very wish-based, kind of irrational, like I said, unicorn pie in the sky rainbow solution. So previously the idea had been do it over 10 years gradually. You basically would increase your homestead exemption by $100,000 a year on top of what it already is until it gets to the 10th year, and then it would just be your entire home. So, if you live in a $1 million home, you would incrementally, some of it's already exempt, but, if you live in a $1.2 million, $1.1 million home, okay, in 10 years, it would get there 1 year at a time. If you live in a $10 million home, well, it's going to go to $1 million, and then in the last year, $9 million gets wiped out. Wealthy people will love this because it is a dramatic improvement in their, costs of having large homes, obviously. But there was an amendment that came in about halfway through this conversation that changed that as well, and it's kind of interesting. The reporting on this HJR, this constitutional amendment that's, in development, has not gotten this correct. A lot of the reporting, even after this passed, talked about it as being a 10-year step down. It is no longer a 10-year step down.
Representative Miller offered the following amendment with scheduled ballot and title amendments, barcode 357969, remove lines 29 through 154 and insert an amendment.
Representative Miller, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment eliminates non-school property taxes immediately instead of over 10 years.
Questions of the sponsor, Representative Nixon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Why? Why? Miller.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. After looking at the numbers, it became incredibly clear that we have the ability to do this without putting undue burdens on local government, and I believe that it can be done. And this is an important time to deliver the relief to Florida families that they so badly need.
Like, it was one thing when it was a year at a time step down to gradually get cities and counties to be able to adapt to this massive loss of income, depending on how they're structured 20 to 70%, just everybody's a little bit different of their revenue. And no, she says, yeah, we can just do it now. That's why Rep Nixon, who, by the way, Angie Nixon, I don't think there's ever a word out of her mouth that I think makes any sense. Angie Nixon's nuts. And we'll play some for you a little bit later. But this is the one time she's got it right. The whole argument has been it's gradual, they can adapt. And now all of a sudden, ah, screw it, January 1st, next year. Just, you know, no big deal. We'll vote on it in November. It'll go into place January. We won't have any implementing language yet because the implementing bill can't get voted on by the legislature. That won't be in session until after it goes into effect in January. So what's going to be the status of this in January, even if it does pass, okay? So problem, lots of cities, Robin Bartleman, one of the loudest of the critics, the Democrats, and I'll just tell you, there's a way I can look at this and to be with the Republicans, but I'm with the Democrats on this because almost every single one of their objections was on target. This is a crazy proposal, the way it's being done.
Carve out for law enforcement, but just doing the numbers, there are over 100 cities that after you do this will not even have enough money to maintain the local level of law enforcement. What happens to those cities?
Do you have a specific study that you can point to that says this?
Representative Bartleman.
Yes, I will have my staff email it to you.
Yeah, everybody's, I believe that list has been produced by the Florida League of Cities. Like, they're the ones saying we have all these cities that won't be able to accommodate this, and you're basically going to bankrupt them or, you know, cut their legs out of various metaphors that have been used for it. But there is a most particular answer to this question I'll give you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Anderson Subaru, still rolling accident-free and even delay-free. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Okay, so being pressed by Robin Bartleman, a Democrat, Monique Miller is being asked about, you know, all these cities came to you and said, this is terrible, this is stupid, why are you doing this? You know, are you insane? And more than 100 will not be able to afford this if it's done. So she gets specifically asked by Diane Hart-Lohman, who's a Democrat, well, give me an example of a city where this has worked.
Representative, I too.
Or were they in favor of it?
Representative, I too sat on that committee, and I cannot remember a single city coming through saying that they wanted their taxes to be cut at all. So when you say we had these thoughtful conversations, can you take me back to a single city that said this would be good for their city or county?
I can give you a couple of examples of people who are doing it right. Pensacola Beach has no ad valorem taxes whatsoever, and they have existed happily that way, and I applaud that.
The what again? The city of Pensacola Beach has been doing it right all this time? The city of the question was, give me a city, any city, that is on board with this. Oh, well, you know, the famous city of Pensacola Beach is. John, we're going to test your basic knowledge of Florida government.
All right.
Local government. Is Pensacola Beach an incorporated city?
No.
Interesting. Does Pensacola Beach pay ad valorem property taxes on their properties? This is a little bit more complicated.
Oh, goodness. Well, of course they do. Everybody pays taxes.
It's more complicated than that.
Okay, well.
So there's a long history. We're not going to get into it all, but because they are leased properties, right? In Pensacola Beach, you don't own the land. You lease it from the county, and they have these 99-year leases. And you remember there was a bunch of lawsuits over the last, gosh, I mean, about as long as I've been here, over whether they should also have to pay property taxes if they're paying leases, because if you lease it, then, you know, you don't have to pay property taxes. And there's been a lot of different results of this. Some people do pay property taxes. Some do not. It's complicated. But the short version is the reason that if any of them don't, and some it's on not on the land, some it is on the land, some it's on the structure, some it's not on the structure. It's like I said, there's like several different versions of these arrangements. But Pensacola Beach, which is not a city, most definitely pays lease fees, which is the way they pay often instead of property taxes. Remember when all of this stuff with the property taxes was being disputed, the county cut their lease fees down to 50%, and then in the most recent arrangement, because of to trade off against having a higher MSBU for fire, they raised them to 75%. Now the SRA pays the fire fee. It's a lot of complicated, but It's certainly misleading and just false to say that Pensacola Beach is a city or that it doesn't pay some kinds of taxes, because they do. So I have to assume that her other examples are equally ill-informed. If that's the one that I know is so ill-informed, the other ones are certainly the same. Now, I told you a moment ago that I'd give you an Angie Nixon quote that was dumb. Here goes.
And then on top of that, it's going to lead to a regressive tax. The regressive tax being sales taxes, because the local governments have to make this money up some kind of way. And currently, we're already paying 6% in sales taxes. So now, voters, I want you all to know, Floridians, you are now potentially going to have to pay 15 to 20% of sales taxes. So the 5 bags of groceries that you currently get from Publix are going to go down to 3. And then we got a bill that's coming up that's going to cut the minimum wage to $7.25 an hour. So I'm confused. What's going to happen? How are people going to eat? Are you serious right now? This is what the state of Florida is doing. I'm tired of it.
Okay. Histrionics aside, she's right that one of the few possible ways to compensate for the revenue loss is going to be sales tax, which will, if it's going to go up comparably, is going to have to go up. She's not wrong about the range, 12, 15%, something like that. The problem, though, on the grocery bag analogy is you don't pay sales tax on groceries. So to say that people are going to go from 5 bags of groceries to 3 bags of groceries is woefully uninformed, because you don't pay sales tax on groceries. They're exempt. But okay, Rep. Nixon, we'll just leave that one aside. There's also, again, Ashley Gant raises the question of how can this work when there's no implementing language? That was a big issue. That's true. You need to implement these amendments once they get passed. Think about all the difficulty of implementing getting felons to be able to vote again after we passed the referendum that gave them the vote, and then how that has been poorly, if at all, implemented since then. Same issue here. Actually implementing in law what the constitutional amendment requires is going to be a challenge. And if it gets passed in November and your session doesn't start till after the thing is in effect, it's a very confusing setup, mostly because they've gone with the whole hog approach of 100% instead of the step down. All right, so that amendment, the one that would make it all in January.
All those in favor of the adoption of the amendment say yay. Yay. Opposed, no. Show that amendment adopted.
You said those screams sounded equal. Well, there's, you know, 80 Republicans and 30 Democrats, so they know what the answer is. And every once in a while, the Democrats ask them for a head count, and they do it and whatever. Okay, Robin Bartleman again. One of the themes of the argument or the discussion was that, in a sense, this is a defunding of police. In fact, the fact that Monique Miller said, just outsource your policing if you're a small enough city, there's a way in which this is a defunding of police, and she'll explain.
Bill does not guarantee that funds will keep pace with future needs. Like as cities grow, staffing, equipment, we know that fire trucks have gone up 140%, pensions and inflation. Also, under your current proposal, and that list is coming to you, 116 of the 411 cities will not be able to comply with this mandate. We are not about defunding the police in this chamber. I can speak for both parties. And what you're doing is you're creating a floor and ceiling so that law enforcement, fire, and corrections will never see a raise, will never get new equipment, because there is no money to go around.
See, the problem is, it's nice to say you cannot reduce law enforcement or first responder spending, but if you're cutting revenue and they're going to have to draw from other spends in order to compensate for that loss of revenue, again, the city of Pensacola spends more on PPD than it generates in ad valorem tax revenue. So you're taking that $70-80 million away, and then you're going to still have to fund PPD. And you can't reduce services for, you know, their spending. But as costs go up, as equipment goes up, and as you grow and you're going to have to hire more people, will you be able to? Well, how? With no new funding. That's part of the challenge, is you're kind of forcing cities and counties to lock in law enforcement spending at its current level. But if prices keep going up, you know, you'd like giving them raises. Well, if you can't give them raises, I actually think one of the solutions to this might be what Santa Rosa County has already done, which starts to look like a pretty genius move in retrospect, that they put in the MSTU for the sheriff. So now you're paying not based on the property value. Or is, now that I say that, isn't an MSTU based on property value? Ooh, I know the MSBU is a flat fee. I think the MSTU is actually. Anyway, they're going to have to figure out something, some other way to generate this revenue. And the defunding of the police was kind of a thing that they kept coming back to. Again, it's not really a defund or a reduce, but it is against its future growth of spending. And also, it is definitely an unfunded mandate because they're saying you have to keep spending levels that are current and we're taking away your ability to do it. Anna Escamani.
Members, it's very easy for us to pass a big bill like this when we're not the ones paying for it. And what Rep. Bartleman is amplifying in her amendment is shared responsibility. The state of Florida already has numerous unfunded mandates in local governments. Despite the importance of the cap on public safety, I would also argue that's an unfunded mandate. You are freezing budgets for local governments for public safety while decreasing, eliminating a huge chunk of their revenue. How are they supposed to do that?
Yeah. I mean, again, Anna Escamani is probably my favorite Democrat in the House. We've had her on the show. She's very smart. She's often very wrong, but she's no fool. And raising this question about how are they going to pay for this, your defunding key things or your unfunded mandate key things, you're forcing them to shift money from elsewhere, and then this nonsense notion that we're not going to have to cut services. Of course you're going to have to cut services. I mean, of course. And listen, if we want that, we can vote for that. We actually don't need a constitutional amendment to vote for it. We could vote it in right now. The next wave of county commissioners or city council members or the mayor. The mayor's up for re-election this year. You could vote in people that promise to eliminate your property taxes. You don't need the state to do this for us. If you don't like paying property taxes, vote for them to not have them. It's easy. You can do it. Well, I mean, not easy, because then what do you cut? But, you know, this is something that could be done at the local level. The fact that we're not willing to do that should tell you something as well. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or delays to report to you this morning. I'm seeing nothing that's going to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you need a roof or you're not sure if you need a roof because you think you need a repair, but you're not sure if you need a whole roof replacement and you're kind of worried that maybe in 3 years you're going to have to replace it anyway and you don't want to put money in now to put more money in later, and what will the cost then be versus now? Well, I know it's complicated, and I know nobody wakes up in the morning excited to get a new roof. Like, it's expensive. Well, Quality Roofing Solutions is there for you. Brian Ward, 20 years ago, started this company. 10,000 roofs later, they've got a 4.9 rating on Google. They've been here since 2006. Creating satisfied customers across the board. Why? Because they do good work. They talk to you like a person. They explain it. They walk you through it. I look for companies to represent who make me feel good as a customer or who make you feel good as a customer instead of ones who make you feel like, you know, a lot of times in construction, unfortunately, you feel like you're getting taken advantage of. That's just not how they operate. You know, they're straight with you. They have all these various mechanisms to help things control costs and to make sure you're getting what you asked for. And I just had a good friend who got a roof from them, and she loved the service. Wasn't the cheapest one out there. Wasn't the most expensive one by far, but she's very satisfied with what she got, and that's the point. You want a good product that you know you can count on. Lifetime warranty and workmanship for all their roofs. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
Culver's knows that everyone appreciates a fresh meal that comes from the heart. Culver's Butter Burger is fresh, never frozen beef seared to perfection, then topped with real Wisconsin cheese and a lightly buttered toasted bun. It's a whole lot more than a burger. It's a taste of home. Lent is here, and Culver's features cod, shrimp, and walleye sandwiches and dinners. Culver's, Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, Highway 90 in Milton, and coming in May to Pine Forest and I-10. DoorDash, Uber Eats, and curbside service are available. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
This Thursday at 9:30, the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. Executive Director Bruce Cady and partner agency Waterfront Mission will share information about the impactful work they perform every day while serving the homeless in our community. Opening Doors is the lead agency for the homeless continuum of care for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Don't miss Pep Talk Thursday at 9:30 with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, sponsored by Tail Staffing and HR, empowering you to get back to business.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
A lot of people will tell you that a good phony fever is a dead lock, but you get a nervous mother, you could wind up in a doctor's office. That's worse than school.
I got a great text here. Somebody says, Andrew, I wish we could pay you to go sit in the meetings in Tallahassee. And then when somebody says something idiotic like Pensacola Beach is a city, you could just yell out, they're not a city. Or, you know, reducing your grocery bags from 5 to 3 because of an increase in sales taxes. You don't pay tax on groceries. I know.
Or just scream, what the Florida?
I would 100% get escorted out, though. You know, because, like, that's totally my personality, too. I just cannot keep my mouth shut when people say stupid things. I roll my eyes. I shake my head. I don't show them all the fingers. In my speech. Anyway, David Wayne is, that's Ryan Jenkins' favorite expression. Let's see, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
So now we're gonna sit you in the meetings and just have you heckle, huh?
And also,
you two would be just like the Muppets.
That'd be funny.
Wouldn't that be great?
Mystery Science Theater versions of the Florida House and Senate.
Yes.
That would be, but you know, a lot of it's very boring, so... Also, why do you all want to subject me to these things for so much of my time? What's wrong with you? All right, do you got a quick headline for us, David?
Sure do. Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Manny Pacquiao are planning to face off in the ring for the first time since 2015. They're calling it the fight of the century. It's going to happen September 19th at the Sphere in Las Vegas.
Well, for only being the first 26 years of it, sure.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. The Russia-Ukraine war enters a fifth year today.
European dignitaries are in Kyiv this morning for events to mark 4 years since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Ceremonies like this one commemorate Ukraine's casualties, thought to be at least 500,000 dead and injured. Cities have been destroyed by Russian forces. Peace talks seemingly stalled over the question of territory.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. A blizzard in the Northeast is over. There are around 350,000 power outages reported this morning, the most in Massachusetts, and there are more flight cancellations.
Across the country, there are more than 2,000 flights that have already been canceled, and travelers will likely have to wait until tomorrow for full service to be restored.
Fox's Noni Black. 11,000 flights were canceled Sunday and Monday. President Trump delivers his State of the Union address tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got right now 31 degrees with clear skies. Of course, we'll get to our full forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, tensions rising in Escambia County after Commissioner Mike Kohler posted then deleted comments questioning Representative Michelle Salzman's experience as a sexual assault survivor. Kohler said he regrets tying that issue to another dispute over funding for a road project, but he said he believes the issue really stems from a disagreement over him not supporting Salzman's run for Congress last year.
It's political, but it's unfortunate.
He talked with Channel 3. Salzman said the issue goes beyond politics.
You have an elected official, a constitutional officer, that tried to bribe me on social media. I'll help you with your claim of sexual assault if you fund my road.
And Salzman called the conduct inappropriate and concerning and said she may take the issue to the governor's office. Well, March Madness begins in Pensacola next week as the Sun Belt Championships return for a sixth straight year. 28 teams competing March 3rd through March 9th. March 3rd through March 9th at the Pensacola Bay Center with winners earning spots in the NCAA tournament. Events include Youth Night, Education Night, Military Appreciation Night, a free fan fest, and even a baby race during semifinal weekend. The women's title game will also air on ESPNU, the men's championship game on either ESPN or ESPN2. And tickets, if you want to go to those games, start at only $5 for children. The Okaloosa County School Board has voted to close Longwood and Mary Esther Elementary Schools at the end of the semester. They're citing financial pressures and, of course, declining enrollment. Their superintendent, Marcus Chambers, called it one of the hardest decisions of his career, saying the district has had to cut $22 million over the past 2 years and is expecting another $12 million cut in their budget this year. He pointed to enrollment declines, state budget constraints, and the impact of the school choice scholarship programs as some of the key factors. Well, the city of Pensacola is expanding a program to help military members transition into civilian careers. The Skill Bridge program places service members into city workplaces during their final months in the military. Previously, the city's partnership in this program was limited to the police department, but now it also includes some jobs at the airport and could expand into other city departments as well. City officials say it lets the city tap into an incredible talent pool and also helps veterans continue their public service. Now, Florida animals getting some much-needed protection. This story from News Radio's Chris Bryan. He says the Florida Senate has passed a bill creating a public registry for people convicted of animal abuse.
The Florida Senate has unanimously passed a bill creating a public registry. This is for people convicted of animal abuse. Senator Don Gates' proposal requires FDLE to post information about anyone who violates the state's animal cruelty laws. Gates says it's meant to help rein in those puppy mills. A University of West Florida study showing Florida has the second highest number of pet retailers in the country. The bill now moves on to the House. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. 6:35 at News Radio. And now checking in with John Pickens, who's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free right now. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. This traffic report is brought to you by Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. New affordable housing, resort-style living, one-bedroom apartment starting at $799 per month. That's Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
We're going to be looking at a sunny day today with some cooler temperatures. Highs topping out near 55 degrees this afternoon with mostly sunny skies. Tonight, temperatures a little bit more mild, around 46 degrees. For Wednesday, partly sunny skies, high near 71 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Heading into Thursday, 50% chance of rain, high near 72. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 57. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is a very chilly start to our day. We've got 30 degrees right now with clear skies. Our next news at 7 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Home Depot sales fell, but the company topped Wall Street's earnings and revenue expectations for the fourth quarter. The company is dealing with slow housing turnover and high interest rates that have stalled major home projects. Oil prices are mixed as traders eye U.S. and Iran negotiations, as well as the U.S.'s trade policy. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $66.37 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $71.43 per barrel. Intel is participating in a $350 million investment in artificial intelligence chip startup Samba Nova and is also partnering with the startup. Samba Nova says its new SN50 chip offers better performance than the graphics cards in NVIDIA's B200 systems. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 821, the NASDAQ down 258, the S&P 500 lost 71. Once again, futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code SOUND to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code SOUND for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code SOUND for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Here on the Gulf Coast, barbecue's got soul. Voodoo Barbecue brings that New Orleans flavor to Pensacola. Slow smoked meats, bold spices, and recipes that don't rush a good thing. Voodoo Barbecue is locally owned, locally staffed, and serves barbecue the way it's meant to be. Low and slow, Cajun style, fall off the bone ribs, pulled pork packed with flavor, the way barbecue was meant to taste, oh yeah. Plus sides with that New Orleans flair. Voodoo Barbecue, a 9 mile road in the Target Shopping Center. Online at voodoobbq.com. Get your mm-mms ready and come taste the magic. The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone, on your computer,
wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Heard some strong and offensive language tonight. If you've seen the film I Swear, you will know that film is about the experience of a person with Tourette's syndrome. Tourette's syndrome is a disability, and the tics you've heard tonight are involuntary, which means the person who has Tourette's syndrome has no control over their language. We apologize if you were offended.
That's Alan Cumming. He is an actor. You may know him from a couple of different things. A fairly, you know, well-known actor, but not like A-list exactly. But he was the host of the BAFTA Awards. And he was apologizing after the fact for somebody in the audience who was yelling out profanities during the event. The person yelling them out is the real-life person who has Tourette's syndrome, on which the movie that had been winning some awards was based. So if you're not familiar with Tourette's, I actually had my best friend in high school and junior high had Tourette's. He had a very mild case. It was more for him. It was more physical tics and coughing. Sorry, God, it's been a long time since I've talked to David, but, you know, very mild. He didn't have the yelling out profanity version, but or, you know, that kind of style of tic. But it's basically involuntary motions and or speech with your body. And some of the more notable versions of this. I mean, people yell out profanity. Every profanity you can think of, the worst ones, is pretty common. I can't give you examples, but I'm telling you that yelling out every word that starts with a letter that we say instead of that word, you know, N's and F's and C's and MF's and all of that, very common for the people who have this particular neurological disorder. There is nothing they can do to stop it. It is completely involuntary. They hate it. It's like you blink in your eyes. And even more less than that, because there's nothing you can do to stop it. And typically, the more stressed they get, the worse it gets. So if they involuntarily do it in the middle of a big award ceremony where they're celebrating a movie made about Tourette's, that makes it even much worse. So here's what actually happened in the award ceremony. Delroy Lindo and Michael B. Jordan, both very famous actors, both black, are introduced and giving an award. There's a particular word you don't say about black people, but if you have Tourette's.
Please welcome two legends, Delroy Lindo and Michael B. Jordan.
Delroy and I are delighted to be presenting the first BAFTA of the night for a vital part of movie making.
We're here to celebrate the artists who expand what's possible on screen.
Now, I think Delroy Lindo, I don't know whether he was prepped in advance that this could happen or whether he was just, what the Florida? You know, what just happened? What the Britain? But it was the bad word. And there were other events during the night. I'm not going to, you know, play versions of it because all it would be me playing you a bleep. But several other times during the ceremony. And that's why Alan Cumming comes back at the end and apologizes. Now, viewers have said they should have bleeped it out since it was run on delay. And I actually think that was... that would have been appropriate. They're taking it down or have taken it down. BBC, I think, is the one who was, you know, carrying it, and they're taking it down or have taken it down so that you can't watch it. And I guess, I don't know if they're going to put back up a normal version of it or whatever. But you also have some people who don't really understand Tourette's, and so they are now coming out and saying, no, no, they meant it. You know, you ever have something come up where somebody's so completely wrong and they get adamant about it or mean about it, but you also understand they just don't know what they're talking about. And it's not really their fault for not knowing because they have never had an experience with the thing in question. That's how I feel about this. The folks who are, Jamie Foxx, for example, commented on a social media post that he said, this is unacceptable. And, you know, nah, he meant that bleep, like saying he meant to say the N-word. He hates, yeah, I mean, you know. And then you have another actor, Wendell Pierce, who most recently plays the police chief on Elsbeth, if you watch that TV show. But he's been in a lot of things. And he says, the insult to them takes priority. It doesn't matter the reasoning for the racist slur. But it would be essentially you'd have to take the guy out. You'd have to have him be there. And by the way, the actor, or not the actor, the real life person, he's just mortified by it. He, you know, he says, I had a quote from him and all of a sudden I've misplaced it, but, you know, oh yeah, okay. I've spent my life trying to support and empower Tourette's community and to teach empathy, kindness, understanding from others, and I will continue to do so. I chose to leave the auditorium early in the ceremony as I was aware of the distress my tics were causing. And he says, in addition to the announcement by Alan Cumings and the BBC and BAFTA, I can only add that I am and always have been deeply mortified if anyone considers my involuntary tics to be intentional or to carry any meaning. I know it's weird if you've never known somebody with it, but what happens is you just kind of get used to it and it becomes, that's who they are. And then when you're around new people, it's like, oh yeah, you know, the people in the restaurant aren't. And so they a lot of times try to avoid these social circumstances. But then you get in a weird kind of, should somebody have to make themselves a pariah, an outcast, and isolate because they involuntarily say words that other people find offensive because they are offensive under normal circumstances, but the words aren't being said in that way? Well, that's the problem you have here. And what's, again, particularly ironic about this is the movie for which the awards were given was a movie trying to explain what Tourette's is to people and for people who have never experienced it. One of the actors who portrayed him in the movie, Robert Aramayo, was actually asked about the outbursts.
Tonight, John Davidson was there. And in the broadcast, you could hear him shouting quite a lot and some words that people will have found offensive.
But yeah.
What would you say about that?
Well, first of all, they're ticks. He's ticking. And we have to understand that, the way we perceive Tourette's is a joint responsibility, you know? It's not shouting obscenities, it's not being abusive, it's Tourette's and their tics. And so if it can lead to a deeper understanding of Tourette's syndrome and what tics actually are, then I think, if our movie is a part of that conversation, then that's a really incredible thing.
Yeah. And, you know, part of the problem with the, actually, just a second, I'll be back on this in a second. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
Yeah, that's right. We've got no accidents to report to you or delays. Everything is looking good so far this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. You know, if you have a company that has employees, you have to manage benefits, employee benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR, payroll, all of that important stuff that makes your employees happy. It certainly makes them unhappy if you don't do it right. Well, guess what? It's difficult. It's kind of frustrating. It's like red tape and the costs keep going up. How do you solve that? How do you make sure you're doing right by your employees so that you can recruit them and retain them? Torgerson Consulting. They've been doing this for more than 20 years here locally for us here at Cat Country and News Radio. They've been doing this for about 5 years. And I love them. I mean, I hate the way the insurance marketplace is, but I trust Torgerson Consulting that they give us the best alternatives. They explain the plans. We have choices we didn't have before. Much better customer service than we ever had before. And I'm a big fan of my wife, who is an industrial engineer, big on efficiency. She, two thumbs up, you know, they get her stamp of approval. No obligation to have them come look at what you're doing and see if there's a way to do it better. 433-9996 or tcbenefitsgroup.com. So, the thing about Tourette's today, I think, is probably about where autism was in the 80s. You know, you'd have like these after-school specials or things, you know, that would kind of try to show it to people, and you just thought it was all this weird stuff. And then over time, well, we learned to understand people, accommodate them as much as can be done. We work around it. Well, you know, Tourette's affects far fewer people. It's a very, very rare thing. And so a lot of people just have never had to experience it or been around it or get used to it. And I'm just telling you, as somebody who did grow up around somebody who had it, yeah, it's weird, but you just get used to it. Somebody texted in, sometimes people just repeat words. That's correct. This guy he worked with on the job site would climb the ladder and just say, wait, 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 wait. Like he's, you know, but you just, it's weird at first and then you get used to it. It's harder to get used to the people who scream profanity, but they're not saying profanity the way you would. And I know that doesn't solve it for the 5-year-olds who might be in the restaurant, but also, what do you do with something like that when it is completely not within their control? It's challenging. And it's, again, it's disappointing that some of these actors are saying that he meant it when, you know, he clearly did not, but they don't know. So you kind of have to forgive him for what he said and forgive them for what they said and realize that, you know, there's a lot of things that people don't understand. And, you know, maybe a little bit more pausing and learning before you make your comments is usually a helpful thing. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru A Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving ranges based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Runners Association presents the Bay to Breakfast Trail Run Saturday morning. Enjoy the beauty and challenge of an 8K trail run and breakfast after the run. See runsignup.com. Friday through Sunday, check out the Pensacola Dog Fanciers annual dog show at the Escambia County Equestrian Center. Enjoy the show, displays, and the health clinic. See PensacolaDogs.org for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola Right Now
with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
He beat me. Straight up. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
You know this song, but you can't think of it, right?
I can't.
Give it a second. Got it yet? It's Delirious by Prince. It was not one of the big hits, but it's a pretty great. I've been going back and listening to Prince songs, the Prince albums, starting at the beginning. He is was much older, born much earlier than I expected. He was, he had already had like five albums by the time 1999 and Purple Rain came out.
Really?
He made like 40 albums. Yeah.
It's crazy.
The early ones sound, you know what? I don't know if I have this. I had pulled it up earlier, and maybe I had just closed it. I thought I had, dang it. I wasn't intending to talk about this today, but, sometimes you find yourself here. Let me see if I can, I'm probably not going to, this is not going to be worth it. there was a song that I was going to play for you that would, oh, here, this is it. Okay. So just to understand like where Prince was, if you don't know his early music, this made me, I thought it was interesting. This is a song called For You off of his first album, I think. Early Prince was different.
Very.
It sounds like a product of the 70s, and, it was. So, anyway.
Wow.
But you also hear some of the later flares as well. I love going back and listening to people's early work before you really knew them or whatever. So, anyway. 654 here on News Radio 92.3. If you need to do a home improvement project of any kind, you need gear, equipment, whatever, Pensacola Hardware, they can take care of you for that. They have been doing that for, they just started. They just recently started in 1851, 175 years ago. Oh, man. And what you get with that, okay, is a culture, an institutional knowledge of people who, obviously the current employees have not been there for 175 years, but they're this handed down tradition of doing everything they can to understand the needs of construction people and individual home owners alike. And, whether it's a repair or an actual build, they think about it the right way professionally like you do and try to help give you the best stuff that you can possibly use for to solve whatever problem you need to do or to build whatever you're trying to build and to make sure you understand it. And that's everything from, again, the individual just repairing a wall to somebody building a whole subdivision, especially if you need special equipment or specified orders, special products. They can do that. Commercial Construction Supply, that is literally what they've been doing since before the Civil War. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. 655, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on I-10 eastbound, right around the Highway 29 exit, we're seeing just some minor delays in that area. But other than that, we are flowing good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, and somebody texts in and says, and Prince also played all of his own instruments, which is interesting as well. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. The Department of Homeland Security still without funding, with Congress at an impasse over ending the government shutdown, the partial government shutdown. Democrats demanding reforms to immigration and customs enforcement. Votes yesterday were canceled due to the severe weather and the storm that hit the Northeast. The Senate is expected to take up a procedural vote today on whether to take up a funding bill, but that is not really expected to get the votes needed to pass. Flights to and from Mexico have been canceled and rescheduled after that cartel violence, after the killing of a notorious Mexican drug lord. Visitors in Puerto Vallarta have been asked to stay indoors, at least for now.
Yeah, I was watching one guy that was in Puerto Vallarta, and they said they were so scared they went out on the water to get distance from it, to watch it burn from, it's crazy stuff. David, thank you so much for the update. 657 on News Radio 92.3. Have you heard the story about President Trump and the women's hockey team?
No.
Okay, so the men's hockey team gets invited to go to the State of the Union in the White House, and the women's hockey team got the same invite and turned it down because of this phone call. Now, it's a little hard to understand. I've done my best to make it easy to understand. The first minute is context. This is him calling the men's hockey team the night they won gold. Your goalie played not bad.
Say hi to him.
How you doing, Don? I have seen hockey goalies have slightly worse games. It's unbelievable, and you were all unbelievable. And that team is pretty good you played. I don't know if it's going to begin anytime soon, right? And, I tell you what. I just told my people 2 minutes ago, I didn't know they'd be calling. I said, we're giving the State of the Union speech on Tuesday night. I could send a military plane or something. If you would like to, it's the coolest night. It's the biggest.
We're in.
Yes. We're
in. I send a military plane. We'll bring you to the State of the Union. We're in.
Can you pick us up in Miami on Tuesday morning?
Yeah. Tuesday morning.
We'll the northern border.
We'll get the cash and we'll get the military to get you guys over.
Let's go.
boys are going to the State of the Union.
And then he says, we can make it happen no matter what the weather or the flights are. There's some kind of joking around.
The nice thing about being president is I can tell you, you don't have to worry about the weather or land. So we don't care if it's snowing, if it's a worse blizzard, sailing through that circuit just like you did on the ice.
Cash Patel is there in the room, the FBI director. This is the part that got attention.
Now we'll do it at the White House. What would really be cool, and we'll do the White House the next day, we'll just have some fun. We have medals for you guys. And we have to, I must tell you, we're going to have to bring the women's team. You do know that. I do believe I probably would be impeached, okay? But anyway, if you could work that out, I would be honored to have you. I'll introduce you to the whole...
I got it, boss. I got it.
So he says, you do realize I have to also invite the women. And if I didn't invite the women, too, I'd get impeached. Well, the women responded that they just can't fit it into their schedule after they obviously felt like they were slighted in the reference that he would call them and celebrate with them and invite them and feel like, oh, yeah, I guess I got to invite the women, too. At least that's how people are interpreting it. I hear it all in context. I don't read it quite that harshly, but that's why all the drama around this right now.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com.